I don't think it was. It doesn't matter.
We gotta start all over again.
Alright.
Sorry.
And verse 23. So, what we're beginning to do now is we're going back to the worship of nature. You see it everywhere. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible men and birds and four-footed beasts and things. And so they start with this net. See, now you gotta look at this, guys. This is like an age thing. This is like over the ages. This is what happens. So now in verse 24, what happens? When a society becomes dark or a culture,
people sin more.
God gives them up to uncleanliness and the lust of their hearts. Notice what it says here, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Okay, now what we're getting to is different perversions, aren't we? Mm-hmm. The Indians had this thing, it was called the Sun Dance, or it was a, I don't know if it was the Sun Dance, but it was the coming of age dance. And they would tie a rope to a pole and then take a rope with a piece of bone, a sharp piece of bone, and then the old ladies of the village would gnaw on the young braves' chests to numb it, and then they would put that bone through the skin and they would dance around this thing, and to break off of it was a sign of manhood.
They would gnaw on his chest.
They would gnaw his chest to deaden it, so they'd push that bone through it. And then what they would do is they would go around this pole until they would get the courage to go and rip themselves off them.
I suggest a little less Nat Geo and maybe a little more God Channel. Maybe for you.
Oh, I read that a long time ago.
Back on the non.
Yeah.
I know, me too.
I'm like,
well, yeah. You're thinking I'm going over there gnawing on something. Just think what he went through, though.
Yeah,
he probably loved it.
look how backwards that is. If you look at any tribal nation, they are always doing something painful to their bodies. They're scarring it up, doing something with nose piercings or, you know, deforming.
The big
holes.
Yeah, the big holes in their ears.
Yeah.
Trying to car through.
Yeah. And we're starting to see that in this culture now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you would believe the kids that used to have that stuff. And I asked one kid, because he had the big old thing in there, and I said, how do you sleep at night with that in there? So do you take it out? He said, no, I sleep with it in there. He said, you get used to it after a while.
You know what's hilarious is when they're 60 and 70, they're going to have stinking ears that hang down
their
ears.
I know.
And
then
what?
Like,
and I told him, I said, well, what about when you go get a job? What do you plan on doing?
Yeah, doing really successful.
I mean, seriously, what are you going to do? You have a big old funky looking ear and going into a nice job establishment trying to get a job, you know, what are you going to do?
Tape that baby up.
Could be killed on a nail walking down the hall or something.
Oh, yeah.
Does he whistle if he's
crisp?
Holds his head just right in the wind? Yeah.
Oh, it gives it all kinds of meaning. And so, here's, man. Now, so it gets worse, though. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Look at every single culture, guys, without exception, that leaves the one true God. They always worship animals. Every single time. We're seeing it today. You know, we don't have the out-and-out idolatry that where you're looking at a cow and all this kind of stuff in this country. But what's interesting, what you have, is you have nature being elevated to a position above man.
Well, you see the dog commercial. You know, that poor puppy, that abused puppy. And I'm not saying that there isn't truth to the abuse of animals, because there is.
There is.
But I'm thinking,
you know, you want to save the life of the dog, that's great. Not a problem.
But what about
but
all
it's
other
like,
people?
Why aren't we seeing this with the two-legged creatures that are about this big or this big? That's more important, that dog, that cat, is more important than the life of, you know, a baby.
No, that's not how they look at it.
No.
Yeah, see, that's what I think, too, when I see that commercial all the time. You know, and it tugs at your heartstrings because, you know, they look really fat and everything like that. But it's like, okay, well, what about the children that are abused in our country?
What about children, the 45 million that have been aborted?
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking about. It's
right.
Like, you're worried about this animal. But what about, you know, the baby that isn't even born yet? That I forgot it's not.
It's not a baby.
Yeah, no, we're the enemy. And see, that's what you'll see, guys. Now, 40 years from now, 30 years from now, if it keeps going this direction, what you're going to see is you're going to see out-and-out worship of animals.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is. That's what man does.
Huh.
He has to worship something. And if he does not worship God, he will worship the creation. The Indians worship the creation.
So I figured that they were worshiping their what they had, like their possessions and stuff.
They become very, if you look at Hinduism and some Buddhists, they're very possessionless.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They're very much about strict stuff. In other words, possessionless, no emotions, in other words, no feeling towards anything, no desires. And once you reach that state where you have no desires for anything, then you've arrived.
Oh, the yin state?
Oh, yeah, man. It's crazy. I studied that whole stuff, too. It's called no mind.
I find in this world, too, that people don't even care about anybody anymore. People are, I find that, like, wow, it's hard to find people who are happy. You know?
Yeah, well, you're going to see that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, let's keep going. It gets scarier, guys. Now look what happens. Verse 26 and 27. Somebody read that.
Then,
for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which is due.
They're describing, guys.
Homosexuality.
Every single culture, long enough without God, always turns homosexual. It is the weirdest thing. The Roman Empire, you think we're bad? The Roman Empire openly promoted homosexuality. In fact, 14 of the 15 Caesars were either homosexual or bi.
Ew.
They not only were home. See, we gloss it over. We're like, okay, they're in a monogamous relationship. It's two guys. They're committed to one another. Two women. They're committed to one another. But that's not where it stops. That's not where it's going to stop. Eventually, where it'll stop, it doesn't stop. Next, it's going to be little boys. And all the Caesars had their little boys.
Well, don't they do that kind of now? I mean, if boys dress up as little girls, they say, well, he's just expressing himself.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. He'll grow out of
yeah.
it. I mean, I see that sometimes.
I always try to take it a little bit further.
Yeah.
Because if you're willing to accept that, okay, then what makes it wrong between a brother and a sister if they've both been saved? Or a mother and a son, if there's no possibility of conceiving, if you can take care of that. So what makes that wrong?
There is no wrong because the Corinthians did it.
And then it goes a little further than
brother
that.
And sister,
mom and son.
Oh.
Then it goes further than that. Then wants to stop it from with an animal.
Oh, bestiality.
I mean, my sister goes, I can't believe you're saying that. I said, I know, but you think about it. If this is okay, then
right,
that opens the door for
yeah,
everything
true.
Because
true.
You can't say, oh, this is just, it's just here.
Right.
Then what is wrong
right.
between
no wrong,
two
right.
siblings? If there's no possibility of conception because
they're fixed,
then what makes that wrong?
In Corinthia, guys, in the church, this is how bad it gets. So you can imagine, this is what it's like in the church. Imagine what it was like in Corinthia. In the church, there was a guy that had his mom's, his dad's wife, which was his mom.
I don't want you to repeat it, but I don't think I caught that. Brothers, uncles, sisters. Yeah, okay,
I know. It.
And the leaders of the church were like, oh boy, I tell you.
Boys will be boys.
Those thoughts, that's just the way.
Yes. And Paul came in, he says, what is going on here? He goes, first of all, you're puffed up about this. You're laughing about it. Secondly, I'm going to tell you how serious this is. That this guy, because he's not repentant, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that his soul will be saved. He's still a believer. But things were going to happen.
Do you think they had AIDS then? Called something else.
You know, I don't know. It could have been. And they could have called it something. I know. They could have called it something else. But, you know, guys, and people look at this in the Bible. They even have churches now, guys, who, Metropolitan Community Church in Davenport, that's a homosexual church. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Homosexuality is not wrong. See, I don't have a problem with having somebody come in who's homosexual. You know what I have a problem with? Calling it not a sin.
Right, because I work with one now, because I never did before. But, you know, and I talk to him, and we're friendly together, but
right.
I don't accept it.
It's not.
We haven't talked about that, yeah. But I still, you know, care about him.
I mean, Mike has two sisters, and one is,
yeah.
And the one that is a whole lot nicer than the one that isn't.
Right, and he's a nice guy.
And but yeah. She knows exactly how we feel.
Right.
I mean, she's known
about the whole situation.
Yeah, and yet, you know, and they go to church down in Phoenix, and they take communion, and I'm like,
oh, right.
My God.
Oh, here they marry him.
And they, she had her first partner died, but they had a little ceremony in Rockford and everything, and
yeah.
It's like.
It's true, guys. We're seeing it. It's happening rapidly in this country. Now, the thing about it is we try to set, and here's the problem. This is what I cannot handle. We try to set legislation. We try to stop things legislatively. Guys, that doesn't work. The moral majority did not work. You cannot legislate God's laws to a culture that doesn't want them. There's only one way to change this culture, and it's from the bottom up, not from the top down. You know, I used to be all about that, you know. Be an activist, you know. I mean, go in there and tell your congressman things. You can do that. That's fine. But you need to know this, that ultimately that will not work. Unless you have a dictatorship. You cannot legislate morality. There's only one that can legislate morality, and that's Jesus, and he's going to do it in the kingdom. Nobody else has ever been able to do it successfully. Yes.
So, because that's just, it's funny, because I just read an article about getting involved, and if you want to, you know, maybe get on your county or city or whatever, and but changing the bottom if you get the mass majority on board, like we had with our culture at the very beginning of the Americas, then you're just going to have a good top because
exactly.
It comes out of us.
Exactly. Guys, that's what started the Great Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
See, everybody looks at that and they go, oh, John Wesley, oh, George Whitfield, they were such good preachers. No. They were good preachers, but that's not
a good audience.
Well, kind of, but that's not what started the Great Awakening. What started the Great Awakening were small groups in the communities years before.
When was the Great Awakening?
What's the date? 1780-something.
Yeah, over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was about 7:15 this morning.
The Great Awakening. And every day it's a Great Awakening for Michael. He's like, ah!
I made it.
I woke up. But what happened is the Great Awakening happened when the culture transformed. the culture transformed from the grassroots up, and then all of a sudden, boom, there was a huge revival. But that's what did it. Prior to that, and what people don't hear, is prior to that, these small groups were spreading all through England. France was going through a revolution. They were throwing God out. And it had begun to spread into England. But see, the small groups were already there. And the people resisted France. France is still the same. France has not recovered. France is like, well, we all know the things we say about France. Okay? But they have not recovered from the 1700s, from when they threw God out of the country. England was spared because of the Wesleyan revivals, the Reformation, but the Great Awakening. But that's how it started, guys, from the bottom up. And by the time the Awakening happened, there were so many people that had gotten saved that bars had closed down, literally. Prostitute places had closed down. They just closed down for lack of business.
So the Great Awakening was basically over in France and...
It was in England.
In England.
Yeah, and then it came here.
Okay.
But the places closed down. Guys, this is what it would be like. Okay. If we were reaching so many people for Jesus Christ, that pretty soon, tuxedos, Hooters, all these places were like, we got to close up, no one comes here anymore. I mean, they do, but it's not enough for business. That's literally what happened in England.
Do you think that'll happen again here? I mean, before...
It's possible.
Jesus comes again?
It's possible. But it's not going to start with a legislative movement. It's going to start with God's people doing the Great Commission. Being the Great Commission. That's how it starts. Okay, so he goes at it. He shows what every culture will happen. Now, guys, I mean, here we go. It gets worse. I mean, really, is it a step by step procedure? In some instances, it is, but this is now Paul from 28 to 32 kind of throws this whole mess in. This is what people are like. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so God gave them over to a mind that can't even think straight, improper, not fitting mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, all wickedness. Now remember, that all goes with all these words. All types of covetousness, all types of maliciousness, full of envy, all murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, gossips, backbiters. They hate God. They're violent. They're proud. They're boasters. They're inventors of evil things. They're disobedient to parents. Undeserving, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who know the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, because for the wages of sin is death. They not only do these things, but like an alcoholic, they want others to do it with them.
So he's speaking of people that are believers or that have switched over. I mean, they're
He's just talking about
unbelievers.
He's talking about human nature. This is
everybody.
Yes, the wrath of God is against. And here's something I want you to see here. If you look at verse 18, go back to verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men. Go to chapter 3. Verse 10. What does it say, verse 10?
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
Which means they're unrighteous. And what does Paul say in verse 9? After he's making his whole case, he says what? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged that both Jewish people and all the rest of the people in the world, that they are all under sin.
We're not better being the Jews.
What's that?
You're saying we're not better. He was saying the Jews.
Okay. Yeah.
Believers.
Yeah. And then he shows the way out in verses 19 through 22. And it's through faith in Jesus. That's the way out. So this is an unbelieving world, condemnation of the Gentiles. And just like alcoholics, they do the same thing. They feel bad about what they're doing at one point,
and know that it's wrong, but you have to keep doing it.
Yeah, and they want others to do it with them. So does sin. Sin loves company, too.
It's just funny reading this, because some of these things are so simple, and I just think, oh, office politics, that's, you know, what you live with every day at the office, and you try to muscle through it, yeah, and you know how bad it is, and yet it's just taken for everyday, it's the work world and culture now.
Well, and a lot of times,
and it is miserable.
People that are,
those people are
outright doing things that are visually wrong, I mean, we all do wrong, but those that are choosing to do things that are wrong, I mean, you take somebody that's living a homosexual lifestyle, they're not going to condemn all these other things.
Yeah.
Because how can they condemn them? So they're going to go for all of these way off the wall type things.
Yep.
Because otherwise, you know.
Well, do we not see that already? The Bible says every man did what was right in his own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the culture today.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is for you is okay for you. And whatever is okay for me is okay for me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't judge me.
Yeah. That's the worst sin now. If you touch that, yeah, don't, how can you, you're a Christian, you can't judge.
Well, not only are these people confused, you know, in their sexuality, but what about their spirituality? Don't they get a little confused about that when they claim to be Christian? And
oh, that goes all over the place,
mm-hmm.
man. Oh, people, guys, people are not anti-religious. People are very religious. And they will always go to some sort of worship.
Yeah, they're all about different religions.
Yeah.
Well, my religion does this.
Yeah.
How can you say mine's wrong?
Because God put this in us. He put eternity in our hearts.
I think some of them know that they're sinning, and they hurt from it. You know, they just know that they're not connected anymore. They would like to be, but, you know, they have to change their lifestyle to come back to where they were.
And some of them are so far, so far gone, so far into it, that they have convinced themselves and then have closed that little conviction part. They just shut that part down. And they have convinced themselves that this is okay, this is good, this is the right thing for me.
Buried it.
Buried
you're
down.
Suppressing
so,
the truth, like
yeah.
you've been saying.
Yeah.
Christians do the same thing, guys.
Mm-hmm. And
they,
so when
they
you
quench and grieve the Holy Spirit.
And when you have people around you that represent right, you feel convicted, so then you don't want to be around them.
Right. Exactly. Even if they don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's because you know you're doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to open their mouth up, and you can look at them and go, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bad.
Well, so when we look at this, some of us may escape this list, but I don't think any of us really have. When somebody was witnessing to me years ago, they got me on envy, deceit, violence, disobedient to parents. That's where they nailed me.
Well, I think just that human nature in us is what
mm-hmm.
allows us to do that.
To fall into all
you know?
Of these things.
And
you get mad at your spouse and you say something, you know, that's very unkind. It's like
children.
Yeah, your children.
Look at Galatians real quick, guys. I'll show you exactly what she's talking about. Galatians chapter 5. So if you're in your Bible, it's to your left.
No, it's to our right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. Sorry. Wait a minute.
Reminder by the pastor some tabs.
I'm going to do this. I knew that.
Chapter 5 in Galatians. Check this out, man. Don't be afraid to look in your index, guys, if you don't know where it is. Because it's a very small little book.
Mm-hmm.
But look at the difference here. Chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, what is the lust of the flesh? Look at verse 19 and 20 and 21. Where have you heard that list before?
Wow, back here?
Yep. Because that's the flesh. See, these people in chapter 1, going back to Romans, these people are unsaved. For one, he's speaking to unsaved Gentiles. They're unsaved, and they have no Spirit of God in them. There's no righteousness of God there. And so this is what people have to be like, because the flesh cannot be made to be better. The flesh will always be the flesh. You can't mortify the flesh by do's and don'ts. You can't train the flesh. You can't feed the spirit and starve the flesh. You cannot starve the flesh. The flesh exists on its own. The only way to beat the flesh is walk in the Spirit. That's the only way.
So back in Romans, if we're on this list here, we're no better than the homosexuals. Really, sin is sin.
Well, we are better because we're seated at the right hand of God, and we have the Spirit of God in us.
Mm-hmm.
But you are sinning, sitting at the right hand. Mm-hmm. You're literally sinning with Jesus sitting right next to you, and God's Spirit inside of you.
Okay, what about a homosexual that is a Christian? Where does that go?
They need to repent. God's a good daddy. He's not going to let
but
his children
it's
run.
It's wild that the Holy Spirit can be in you and that you can still sin.
Yeah, well.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean,
it happens. But I mean, like,
yeah.
Say, like, you're homosexual, you're a Christian. You accept Jesus into your heart.
It's hard to believe that you can still be a homosexual and have the Holy Spirit in you because you really don't want to sin.
Let's break it down. Okay, because in our minds, because of our culture, homosexuality has been a no-no because we have a Judeo-Christian culture, okay? But what about the Christians that come to church that are gossips?
I know.
You see? How can a person be a Christian and be a gossip? Well, gossip's not as bad as homosexuality. No, and
I know,
you
that's
know,
what I'm saying. I know.
Right.
I know.
The wages of sin is death.
Sorry.
Little sin, big sin. The wage is death.
I know, because I've never been that way, so I don't know what they're feeling.
I'm saying we waste those sins.
Yeah.
Right.
But what about, to finish my question, what about a homosexual that has accepted Jesus in their heart, but hasn't repented, and they die?
Oh, hasn't repented.
Are they still considered saved?
They would have to be.
Right.
Because have you repented of every...
My legs are so long.
Have you repented of every single sin?
No.
What about the ones you forgot? Oh, those don't count, right?
I'm saved by the blood, so
right.
I don't have to...
Right. Well, see, some Christians, they have this thing where it's called spiritual amnesia. God forgets. If you forget, then God forgets.
Oh, no, he doesn't. He knows everything.
No. So those don't count. The ones that you forget don't count. Mm, that's
what a pretty dress.
I forgot 5 years.
You guys have forgotten millions of sins.
Yeah.
Yeah, Therese, it's not a pretty thing, man. It's, you know, God works things out. You know, a person gets saved, they still struggle with homosexuality, they get AIDS, they die.
Hold on, what's there?
What do you do? You know?
Well.
Are you hiding cookies?
Yeah, there you go.
That's a good place to hide
cookies. The more you grow in faith, though, you get better, right?
What was that?
That's it.
The more you grow in faith, the better you get.
The love of God constrains
and
us.
And we struggle, all of us struggle with something.
Yeah.
There's something that we all struggle with. It's different things. So what Mike struggles with isn't necessarily easier than what a homosexual would struggle with.
That's true.
Or an alcoholic would struggle with.
Every one of us have what's called a fatal flaw. That if left to itself...
And that's what we got to pray about all the time.
You could have some,
asking the Lord to help us.
You could have somebody that just, you know, just constantly has to be working out.
Pride alone.
You know, because if they don't work out for 3 hours every day, something's wrong.
Pride.
Right.
Because they just have a fetish problem with it.
Or eating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, eating disorder.
Or just eating too much.
Or there's people out there that just don't eat at all.
Or eat and they're in the bathroom.
Yeah, I mean there's all kinds of.
I always
cleaning
like this.
Their house.
I like to come in and
says,
I don't
and,
have that one.
Ryan and OCD is sin. Watch all the fat preachers come in. Because you can tell because they when they walk, they that's a preacher.
Kind of wild.
Yeah.
Hey, so, little baby.
And you're like, dude, what, did you thunder against smoking and alcohol today? Because I think you better deal with your issue first. You know, I've hammered that one. Chapter 2, guys, deals with the person who says this. Yeah, there's people that are like this, but I'm not that bad. I mean, I do go to church, or I'm in Boy Scouts, or I'm this, or I'm that. But notice what it says here. It says, verse 1, therefore, so we have to always read, when you see therefore, you want to read what is there before. So, therefore is referring back to this list. You guys, you're excusable, all men, whoever you are who judge, for whenever you judge another, you condemn yourself. Because in a sense, you're practicing the same thing. It may not be as obvious, and it may not be as evident, but you're practicing the same thing. And we know that God judges according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, oh man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Okay, so you're a little better than these people, but you still do the same things. How many people in here have been disobedient to parents? Oh, wow. So really what he's... Yeah, so he's looking at this. Paul's looking at this and he's saying, okay, those of you that think you've escaped this list, I'm going to drill deeper. You guys that think you're okay because you're not in jail, because you're not a child molester, because you're not a pedophile or whatever, you think you're okay. You're not on the 6 o'clock news, so you're okay. We hear that all the time, don't we? Okay, verse 4 says, do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Now, in these next couple verses, guys, what it's going to sound like is it's going to sound like if you do good, you will get in, and if you do bad, you won't. Why don't we just go ahead and read that? Let's go ahead and read it, and then we'll be done.
He's funny, isn't he?
I got him on the way here for going.
Which verse?
Verse. Let's look at the
2.
We're gonna wrap 5 all the way to voters 16. That's the bell. I want you guys to read this. In fact, I'm gonna put it up here. Here's your assignment.
Read.
Assignment. And I want you to tell me what you're thinking and feeling after you get done reading it. 2.
Not much for the church.
5 through 16.
Read Romans 5 through 16 and tell us how we feel.
Romans 2, 5 through 16, and tell me how you feel. Tell me how you... let's see, women, I want to know how you feel. Mike, I want to know what you think.
Well, if that wasn't a sex appeal, Mark, I don't know what it is.
It's the way it is, guys.
The feeling you may feel is, oh, I just cut my
tongue. Yeah, yeah. Are you asking how I feel? I'm not going to tell you how I feel, because I don't know how I feel. But I'll tell you what I think. All done!
We're going camping next weekend, so I'm not
okay.
Sure.
Where are we going? We're going camping next weekend, too, aren't we, Michael?
Wow, yeah. I'm going camping next weekend, too.
Yeah, you are here.
Yeah, you're not here next weekend.
And I'm not
next
week.
Perfect, I'm not going to
You're right. I almost forgot.
So we have we have actually 2 weeks to read it. To read our.
Yeah.
Oh, I need 2 weeks to read it.
Yes, she does.
And then she'll have a great awakening on 2 weeks from now. Oh my gosh, I haven't read.
Saturday night.
No, Sunday morning actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh darn, that's read.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's read. I wanted to get you guys because I know how it goes, man. I do the same thing. We have 2 weeks.
Good thing you were around to turn that sucker on. I turned it on, but I must not have pressed it hard enough.